Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
Whoop whoop!
That's the sound of the beast.
Whoop whoop!
That's the sound of anti-vaccine. I'm Andy.
This vaccine is less than 100% effective. Quick, let's just stop using it entirely. I'm Kelly.
You're gonna get that shot or you're gonna get a whooping. I'm Adam.
I'm Sean, and this is Acid Pop.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we're going to be talking about whooping cough.
Whoop.
Yeah, which is appropriate because I am a bit under the weather. So we'll see how we do, but I might end this podcast two or three octaves lower than I start. So, etymology of whooping cough. Whoop comes from Goldberg, who made her debut in 1985's The Color Purple.
Excuse me?
Keep up, Andy.
Whoa, did I fall asleep for like 5 minutes?
Am I having a stroke?
No, whoop is from Middle English whoppin',
which a great big cough.
Which means to cry out. And cough is Proto-Germanic from koch, which was first recorded in the 1300s.
Good throat sounds there.
So whoppin' koch.
Give me some umlauts now.
Yeah.
There is no specific fear of whooping cough, and as you'll recall from our sleeping epidemic episode, hypochondria is the fear of disease, confusingly from Greek meaning under cartilage.
Well, my cartilage is all, under my cartilage is just lurking disease.
So whooping cough was discovered in 1906 by Jules Bordet and Octave Jangou. Though it's hard to say when the disease, or it's hard to say how long it may have actually been around before that. Whooping cough is also called pertussis and 100-day cough, as its course generally takes 13 weeks or so.
Ooh, holy crap. That's too long.
Indeed.
I'm never quite sure what it means when someone says they discovered a disease.
Yeah.
Do they mean caught?
I discovered this.
The first time a scientist got sick with it.
Yeah. So we're on to our acid pop quiz. So true or false, whooping cough is caused by a virus.
Seems too easy.
It's 100-day, though. Like, I feel like you can get rid of bacteria in 100 days or less.
You get vaccinated for it.
So I'm going to go virus.
Yeah, if you get vaccinated.
I'm going to say true.
I'll go false.
Adam's got it. It's false.
What?
It's caused by a bacteria. Bordetella pertussis is the bacteria that causes whooping cough. So whooping cough is currently the only vaccine-preventable illness becoming more prevalent in the U.S. True or false?
False.
I'm going to say false because these motherfuckers ain't vaccinating their kids. We're getting back measles.
I'll also say false.
Oh, this one is true. The vaccine was created in the 1940s, at which time there were roughly 175,000 cases of whooping cough in the U.S. each year. In 1976, that got all the way down to 1,000 cases, but in 2012, it's back up to 48,000 cases.
Way to go, America.
Largely due to the anti-vaccination movement that started in the 1980s.
That's a big increase.
A Facebook post the other day where it was whooping cough. Her two-year-old had whooping cough, and she's like, somebody tell me I'm doing right by not vaccinating my child. It's awful for me to watch this child suffer. I'm like, it's awful for you?
Yeah, and I guess I should just, I should have said this a little earlier, but I wanted to do an episode on whooping cough. I had not intended to do an episode on vaccinations, but this episode is largely about vaccinations.
And here we are.
Yeah, I think we've all laid our cards on the table. At this point, if you're an anti-vaxxer, this probably isn't the podcast
we're all
for
against.
You.
Delete the podcast and then eat your own butt.
So true or false, whooping cough is zoonotic.
So it travels between
species.
Yeah.
True.
Sure, why not? Giraffes got it.
Do do they?
Sure.
It's a bacteria. Sure. Why not?
So I'm going to say false. So other primates can get it. In fact, many zoos vaccinate their primates against whooping cough, but currently no other species can catch whooping cough.
But you just said other primates.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to call that false. If you want to say that that counts, then I'll leave that up to you.
We'll take 3/4 of a point.
I want my whole point.
You can have some of mine, Adam.
Fine.
So Kelly only gets half a point now.
It's mine. Back off.
So we're on to our fill in the blank. How many people are infected each year worldwide, and how many people die?
Well, you said it was 48,000 in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that number's higher in other countries.
In 2012, right?
Yeah.
Oof.
I'm thinking like
300,000.
I'm thinking like a million.
We do have a vaccine for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's lots of places that don't get those.
Yeah, you're right. 500,000.
So roughly 16 million people become infected.
Jeez.
And death reports are mixed, but let's say it's about 100,000. So that's a death rate of about 0.625. So that's not high, though this disease is still very miserable.
And it also takes you out of work for, what did we say, 180 days?
100 days.
That's how long it takes to go around the world.
Everyone knows that.
No, it's only 80 days for the world.
That's right.
Or maybe in your hot air balloon.
So how long can it survive outside a human body?
48 hours.
72 hours.
100 days.
Oh, my God.
Actually, Adam and Andy got it. It's between 2 and 3 days.
Wow. Yay! Good job.
So how effective is the whooping cough vaccine?
Very.
How about a percentage?
70%.
98%.
Yeah, I know it's not 100 because I know of some vaccinated people who have gotten sick with whooping cough. Yeah, 70 feels right. I'm going to say 75%.
It's about 85%. So that's good, but it ain't great. And in less good news, scientists now suspect that not only does the vaccine taper off faster, but also that the bacteria is mutating to work around the vaccine.
Yes, they do.
That and people who are vaccinated can be carriers of pertussis, so the situation is not ideal. But just to be clear, vaccines are still the best defense we have, and if you have received the vaccine, it typically decreases the effects of whooping cough. So if you do get the vaccine and you still end up getting whooping cough, it won't be as bad as if you didn't get the vaccine.
Oh, to be an organism that multiplies so fast that it can mutate within 50 years.
So what percentage of children, teens, adults, and medical professionals are vaccinated against whooping cough?
I need a number for each of those?
Sure.
Children. I had to have mandatory vaccinations when I was in middle school, but I don't think those are a thing anymore.
You don't think so?
They are. It's just you can use an exception.
I mean, for kids and medical professionals, it's got to be pretty high, I would think.
For medical professionals, I'd hope 100%.
I would hope so, too. I'm going to say 100% for medical professionals.
Okay.
For kids?
70.
85.
Then you got teens and adults.
Teens can start making their own decisions.
50% for teens, 10% for adults.
I'm going 70-80.
Okay.
So 70-70-80-100.
Okay.
So I'm going 70-80-90-95.
Oh, okay. So children, 84%.
Ooh.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Teens, 41%.
Excuse me?
Adults, 17%. Medical professionals, 37%.
Is this a new vaccine or something, or does it just wear off regularly?
Well, it does wear off. You have to get it every 10 years, I believe.
Okay, so that's what I wasn't thinking about.
Yeah, so a lot of times people get them when they're a kid, then they sometimes get them when they're a teen, and then they don't get them again.
I've had it within the year.
I don't know if I've had it within the year.
Oh. Yeah. And let me take this opportunity to recommend that everyone just go do it. Odds are that it's free through your insurance, and if you have it, your arm will be sore for about a day, and that's it. So it's no big deal.
I can't handle that.
Insurance.
So we're on to our terms. What does TDAP stand for?
I used to know this. Fudge.
TDAP?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an acronym.
I think I know everything but the A.
Traditional dogs are progressive.
Total drama army patrol.
So it's tuberculosis, I think.
Dysentery.
Diphtheria? And pertussin, and then
disco fever.
The A is algebra.
So T is for tetanus, D is for diphtheria, P is for pertussis, and A is for and. I guess.
Well, she was right then.
Yeah, pretty much.
A is for algebra.
Everything but the T. So what is paroxysmal?
It's P T E R to start with. It turns you into pterodactyl when they inject you with it.
Mm-hmm. And then what happens?
You're pterodactyl.
Well, you rule the savage land.
That's the planet that this originally came from. The aliens brought it with them when they invaded.
It's the doctor that will one day eradicate it.
I am Dr. Terrazoxmal.
It is as foretold in the prophecy. So these are violent bursts of symptoms. So the coughing fits of whooping cough are definitely paroxysmal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
So what is the plura?
I mean, it's less than the singular.
Wouldn't it be more than a singular?
Oh, damn it. My joke!
I feel like I've heard this word before.
The plura is a mucous membrane.
That sounds plausible.
Sounds like it's like the lining of your lungs or something that you're coughing up when you're...
Oh, that's remarkably close. This is the lining that attaches the lungs to the ribs.
I'm taking that point. I already gave half a point to Adam, so...
I've earned this.
So we'll talk about why this is important a little later. And that concludes our Essen Pop quiz.
Feel like I won.
I'm glad you feel that. So, whooping cough. Here's how this typically goes down. You inhale the bacteria after someone else sneezes it out. A week or two after you inhale it, you get what appears to be a mild cold. You get a runny nose, a bit of a fever, and a mild cough. You take some time off work, and the fever and runny nose start to clear up, but the cough gets worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of weeks after symptoms presented, the fever and runny nose are gone, but boy, that cough. You cough as hard as you can until your lungs are completely empty. Then you gasp like a person who's been holding their breath for 3 minutes, because in effect you have, and immediately resume coughing.
I thought you were going to die right after that.
And then you die.
You cough so hard and for so long that you have trouble eating and sleeping. Sometimes you pass out due to exhaustion from how hard you've been coughing and how little sleep you've gotten.
You said those vaccinations were free? Can we do that like right now?
Oh, I've got them right here.
You are more than likely going to cough so hard you throw up, which really sucks because you have to work hard to eat that food.
The person I knew who her whole family who had been vaccinated got this. They were all coughing so hard they were vomiting.
Yeah.
That's pretty much every time I cough very hard for me.
I mean, coughing is basically just air vomit.
Yeah. You may cough so hard that you break your own ribs.
What?
You might rip your pleura, detaching your lungs from your ribs and getting painful air bubbles in between.
Yeah, and then your lungs can just go anywhere they want.
They're wandering around wherever the fuck they want.
I have wandering lung.
You might give yourself a hernia, burst a blood vessel in your brain, or lose control of your bladder.
Adam, I've got whooping cough right now.
Stop.
This is coughing turned up to 11. And you can look forward to it continuing at the same rate or getting even worse for 2 to 8 weeks.
No.
After that, assuming you're still alive, the symptoms will start to peter off for another few weeks. And after all that hard work, you've earned yourself immunity for the next 7 to 10 years.
And then really nice abs.
Yeah.
But really bad ribs.
That's a good trade-off. Nobody ever looks at ribs.
My understanding is there's very little they can do for you.
Yep, not really.
So no antibiotics?
I don't think they help much, and it's hard to get antibiotics into your lungs.
Yeah.
What if they, I mean, couldn't they just sedate you? Would that stop coughing?
I think they sometimes do put people in medically induced comas.
Sedate you for 100 days?
Yeah.
Please do.
So I'm going to have abs like The Rock, but a jangly glass-filled case of ribs.
Yeah.
your rib cage is going to sound like a sack full of broken glass.
Now, as I mentioned, while miserable, this isn't often fatal. It is significantly more fatal in children under the age of 1, though. And unfortunately, the first 4-dose course of the vaccine against pertussis takes about 18 months. So for the first year and a half, babies are super susceptible and are not only susceptible to whooping cough, but also much more likely to die from it. That's why it's a good idea to continue the vaccine as an adult, because if everybody else has the vaccine, babies don't really need it so much.
It's also why they vaccinate pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course it's going to be more fatal to infants. Their ribs are like tiny soft things. You could bite right through them.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
So why wouldn't you vaccinate your child? Well, the controversy about this one goes back to the 1970s. Ironically, when whooping cough was at an all-time low in the U.S.
Well, that's when you stop being scared of things.
Yeah.
It's true.
There were several reported cases of mental problems occurring immediately after receiving the whooping cough vaccine. In response to these claims, the scientific community began to do extensive studies to see if there was a connection. Early studies in the 1980s show that there may be a slight correlation where 1 in 350,000 children who received the vaccine show some sort of neurological problems. But they found no correlation with long-term problems. A further larger study in 1990 found no connection whatsoever and officially proclaimed that these claims were a myth. Also, just in case it was a problem, a newer, safer vaccine was developed and released in 1992. Thing is, good science takes time, and outrage takes almost none. So while the research was being done for 15 years, a small but very vocal group was screaming about the evils of vaccines. Many lawsuits were laid against the pharmaceutical companies who made the vaccine. This caused them to take out large liability insurance policies or stop making the vaccine entirely, which caused the cost of the vaccine to skyrocket.
That's what we want to do. Scare off companies from making life-saving vaccines.
Mm-hmm. Medical professionals, intimidated by the cost and wary of lawsuits, stopped recommending the vaccine to their patients.
No!
This, plus the anti-vaxxer propaganda, caused vaccination levels to plummet. In a remarkable coincidence, whooping cough instances began to rise.
I'm sure that's unrelated.
I'm leaving.
Yeah. So I will say that in doing the research for this episode, the arguments of anti-vaxxers aren't completely unfounded. The claims that it causes autism and epilepsy are, but research has shown that the vaccine is not as effective as it once was, and it wears off faster. Some studies have shown that the majority of people who contracted whooping cough were vaccinated against it. But there's a few holes in the data that anti-vaxxers point to that I want to address. First of all, the sample sizes of these studies aren't huge, a few thousand at most. That's enough for the data to be compelling, but not conclusive. Also, when the studies say people were vaccinated, that doesn't mean they were up to date, rather that they had received the full course as children. Since 84% of children get vaccinated, that's not surprising that most people who were infected received the vaccination at some point. Next, there wasn't a metric for severity, and it may be that the effect of whooping cough are less severe if you have the vaccine. Plus, saying the vaccine isn't as effective as we would like is a terrible argument for stopping the administration of that vaccine.
Now that seems to be an argument for more research on a better vaccine.
Yeah.
While you
like I said, bacteria get to multiply.
Right. Finally, the WHO, CDC, and damn near every other large health organization acknowledges that the vaccines may not be great, but they're still the best thing we've got. So people should go get it.
Better than having whooping cough.
Right.
It's better than not having your lungs attached.
Like, if you, you know, you come home and you order food and you're starving and the food isn't as good as you hoped, are you just going to stop eating forever?
Yeah. Well, Rob Schneider told me to.
Yeah. So I wanted to share some stories about whooping cough. And having said my piece about vaccinations, I wanted to get away from that, but it was really hard. Pretty much every story I read went, I said no thanks to the vaccine. Then I/my kids got whooping cough, and now I really wish I'd gotten the vaccine.
So can we all come together right now as a podcast and say, please vaccinate your children?
Yeah.
And yourselves.
Yeah.
Herd immunity is very important. There are immune compromised people who can't get vaccinated, and it's your responsibility to protect them because you can.
And spay and neuter your pets.
So I could tip your waiter.
I could find no stories where someone said, I caught whooping cough, fought my way through it, and now I'm healthier than ever. No vaccines for life. Nor could I find any stories where the subject of vaccines didn't come up. So you'll just have to deal with the overarching theme of this episode.
It's a good theme. I support
it. If you're an anti-vaxxer, maybe another podcast.
Maybe the show isn't for you.
So this is more or less a typical story about whooping cough. A young pregnant woman... Whooping.
A whooping.
A young Muppet was out on a stroll. A young pregnant woman in the Gold Coast of Australia who was fit and healthy was at her 28-week appointment when they typically administer the whooping cough vaccine, but she said no thanks.
No, thank you.
Now, I would like to point out that she wasn't some hardcore anti-vaxxer. She just trusted her immune system and didn't feel like she needed it.
Okay.
A couple of weeks before she gave birth, she started having a mild but persistent cough. She soon gave birth, and her cough kept lingering on. She finally had it checked out and was diagnosed with whooping cough. A few days later, her baby started to cough as well.
Well,
as per usual, it started out not so bad, just a bit sniffly and coughy. Coughy. Yeah, well, that was what it was. Coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
Sniffly with coffee.
Coffee.
But it just didn't stop. Her baby would have coughing fits for up to 3 minutes, going from red to blue to almost black.
Wow. Whoa, no.
She would stop breathing for much longer than a parent is comfortable with, then gasp like a fish and start to look less like a blueberry.
Was she in the hospital at least?
Yeah. Her and her daughter spent weeks in the hospital while her baby recovered. She pulled through, though, but it was a near thing. Now she is a firm advocate for the vaccine and wants to share her story.
I have a question that maybe you don't have the information for right in front of you.
Okay.
But what about this bacteria causes the intense coughing?
I don't know. I mean, I think it just grows on your lungs and your body's just trying to get it out. And the lungs, that's the only thing they can do is just cough.
From what I understand with bacteria, that would generally be the thing, is it's in your lungs and it causes mucus in your lungs.
Right, but I mean, this isn't like the only thing that ever infects in there. I just was wondering what the difference was, why this causes such terrible coughing.
Just a hell of a bacteria.
Yeah, it really hangs in there.
And that's more or less how it goes with newborns and whooping cough.
This is a very hard thing for a new parent to hear.
Yeah, the only difference... In this story pops up a lot. And the only difference is sometimes the baby doesn't start breathing again.
Adam, cancel the shipment of pertussis to Sean and Kelly.
It's already gone through.
And man, when researching this episode, I was curious as to what it sounded like. So I was like looking up videos of people with whooping cough. Because like, to me, I don't think whoop is a very good sound effect, because it really is just people gasping and they just make this like sort of noise.
Does it just give you a whooping?
Yeah, it definitely gives you a whooping. But one of the clips that I found, which we'll link to on our website, is of a baby with whooping cough, and like listening to it try and breathe is maybe the best advertisement for vaccines I've ever heard. So
well, thank you. I will not be paying attention to our website.
You have to as part of your child development class.
No.
It's required.
Damn it.
So sometimes, though, the whooping cough doesn't leave you in the same state you started. In another
one thing, it leaves you with broken ribs.
Yeah. In another story I found, a woman born in the 70s had a mom who was an anti-vaxxer. When this woman was in middle school, she got super sick and developed a cough that left her curled up and vomiting. her mom calmly told her that she had whooping cough and that her and all her siblings had it when they were kids. Since her mom and her aunts and uncles made it through fine, she was not taken to a doctor or given any form of treatment beyond chicken soup.
It's just part of growing up.
Yeah.
Homemade or Camel?
I don't know. Didn't specify. I don't know which one was around in the 70s.
Chunky.
There certainly was after she coughed in it.
Gross.
So she got better, but after that, any time she would get even a little bit sick, the cough would come back. Mm. Every winter, the cough would return, and it persisted well into college. Hmm. She continued to be sick regularly and frequently caught bronchitis. Living on her own now, she always went to the doctor, and she thought it was odd that they never so much as mentioned vaccines. They just told her that her constant cough was probably just a remnant of having asthma as a kid. But one day, she sheepishly told her doctor that she didn't have asthma as a child. He chuckled and said, "Well, the only other explanation would be if you had whooping cough, but surely you were vaccinated against that."
Why did she keep this a secret?
Well, she didn't. They just never asked her.
They always just assumed.
Yeah. They were just like, well, they didn't even bring it up because, like, well, because of course she had the whooping cough vaccine.
Of course.
So when she confessed that she'd never been vaccinated, her doctor told her that she likely acquired asthma as a result of whooping cough and would probably never go away.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
30 years later, she still has to use an inhaler whenever she gets sick, and she moved to Florida in an effort to avoid the cold, dry weather. And if that's not a sacrifice, I don't know what is.
I thought cold, dry weather was good for coughs. Tuberculosis.
Yeah, I kind of thought so too, actually.
And that was the last of the stories that I had.
I don't have any whooping cough stories.
Yeah, I honestly don't really know. I was talking to one of my coworkers, and he said that he actually had whooping cough when he was a baby, but he's okay now. But yeah, I actually don't know anybody that's had whooping cough.
Yes. One of those things is like, I always thought of whooping cough as one of those things that nobody gets anymore.
Yeah, that'd
well,
be nice.
Well, it was almost.
The Tdap?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Was it the bacillin?
What?
Was it the bacillin vaccination? Was that part of it?
No. Tdap.
Okay. I thought it might be something I had gotten in boot camp, but I was misremembering.
Oh. Adam got all sorts of weird vaccinations in a jet form.
Yeah.
Well, some of them.
Do you have one of those circle scars?
I do. That's, I have a spot on my shoulder from the smallpox vaccination.
Yeah. No, it's tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis.
Okay.
And it's sometimes DTaP. Like, sometimes they do it in a different order.
Yeah.
They
just mix them around. I don't know why the A's in there.
Well, Tdap is one of those things that makes your arm sore for like 2 days. I got one. I swear to God, I got one in middle school. And for like 2 days straight, all the girls in drama class are like, "Ah, just poke him."
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know which one.
For getting a shot?
There's a.
Well, but like I had a, my arm was sore for 2 days.
Yeah. There's a few vaccines. I don't think this is one of them, but that. Like, you're supposed to get them every year. I think the flu vaccine might be one, and there's one other one.
Yes.
That, like, if you get it every year, then it hardly hurts at all. But the longer you go without getting it, the more your arm will hurt when you finally do get it.
A Tdap isn't an every year thing, but I did get it really close together.
Yeah.
Because I got vaccinated when my nephew was born, because if you're going to be around a baby and you haven't been vaccinated, it's even more important that you do, because as we established, you have to protect them. But then I had to get vaccinated again because I was pregnant, and you pass some of your immunity on to your child. So that was within 2 years. And the first one, my arm hurt a lot. And the second one, it didn't bother me at all. So I think there is some of that same lack of pain the second time.
I can't tell you that the flu vaccine hurt my arm like 6 years ago, but now every year I get it, it's just meh.
Yeah. All right, we'll move on to what are your morals worth? Pretty simple this week. Whooping cough. How much to get it in you?
Zero.
You do it for free?
Well, no, I'm not doing it.
No amount of money?
Well, okay, give me $1 million.
$1 million?
Do you remember how cheap you were to be inflicted with the worst flu ever known to man, with like a 10% death rate?
Yeah, it was like a $1,500.
10% death rate. However, the flu passes.
Yeah.
This seems like it has lasting effects forever.
Well, you know, except for that flu that kills you.
If I die, I die. If I don't die from whooping cough, I still have like separated lungs and jangly ribs.
And you'll be stronger for not dying.
Oh, I hate coughing. I tend to get long coughs.
Yeah.
Well, and like I said, when I cough for like more than 3 or 4 coughs, I start feeling like... Bleh, bleh.
Well, it sounds just like hell. Like, it sounds like something you'd want to die from it, like sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Give me a cool meal. I don't want my separated lungs to be bouncing around for like $50,000.
It does sound pretty awful.
I'm going to have to abandon my child.
Yeah, I have to take 100 days away.
We will take care of the child.
Can I be guaranteed to survive?
Sure. I mean, odds are you're going to survive anyway. Like I said, this one has like a less than 1% mortality rate, and that's almost exclusively in the young and old.
I'm going to get prosthetic metal ribs put in.
They don't flex. I can breathe in very shortly.
Be like a soda can popping in, and I was like, dunk, 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 dunk.
My aluminum ribs.
Being sick makes me so sad.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it sounds truly awful. Like, a million doesn't seem that far out of the question for me.
Yeah. This is honestly probably going to be one of the most expensive ones I'll ever...
And honestly, I'm one of the most wussiest sick people you ever meet.
I hate it so much.
When somebody comes sick, I'm like, Alex, can I have some toast?
Blanky me.
Andy, take this down. These are my last words.
We're all stunned and silent at the very idea.
Cool mill.
Would I go less than a million?
To be sick for 100 days.
Oh, such a long time.
Oh my god, that's so long.
Like I said, I'm a big baby when I'm sick for 3 days.
Yeah. A flu that lasts a couple days. It feels like an eternity.
I've recently been sick for more than 100 days.
Ooh, but with that kind of money, I could pay to put myself into that medical coma.
Yeah. Are you calling your pregnancy a sickness?
You feel sick the whole time.
Might as well be.
So at least I have some context.
No, I don't think I can. I was thinking 750,000? I was like, no. I think I'm going to have to do a million too.
I think I could do 750.
Yeah?
Man.
I wouldn't be happy about it, but I'm going to take some time off work and fund my daughter's college education.
Now your daughter can go to all college.
She could fail out of every college she wants and then graduate from as many as she wants after that.
Well, I don't know. School's getting pretty expensive. She's going to have to pick like 6.
Don't tell me.
I don't know. 900,000. I think that's about as low as I could go.
Yeah.
I'm the cheap one for a change.
How about that?
So proud of
myself.
We're
all big babies around here.
All right. Well, I'm quickly turning into Barry White, so we better call it a day. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
There we go.
And we're back.
Do we sound like robots to you when that happens?
No.
You sound like angels.
Oh my god, the fever is taking Kelly.